Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. It's Corinne here, and I'm so excited to be here. I just came off of 3 full days of the Miracle Share conference, and I'm just feeling so full and so full of love. So I'm so happy to just be here and continuing to just immerse myself in the Course. So let's begin with a few moments of silence together. This holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Again, welcome everybody. That was just, I appreciate everybody holding the space. I appreciate the nourishing silence. So we are going to pick up where we left off in the Sparkle Edition. We're on page 271. It is right in the middle of the page. It begins with the sentence, "Every child of God is one in Christ." Again, that's page 271 of the Sparkle Edition. In the original edition, it is page 227, also known as Chapter 11, Part 7, Paragraph 59, begins with the same sentence. And finally, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 229 at the very top of the page, begins with, again, "Every child of God is one in Christ." All right, here we go. Every child of God is one in Christ, for his being is in Christ as Christ is in God. Christ's love for you is his love for his Father, which he knows because he knows his Father's love for him. When the Holy Spirit has at last led you to Christ at the altar to his Father, perception fuses into knowledge because perception has become so holy that its transfer to holiness is merely its natural extension. Love transfers to love without any interference, for the situations are identical. As you perceive more and more common elements in all situations, the transfer of your training under the Holy Spirit's guidance increases and becomes generalized. Gradually, you learn to apply it to everyone and everything, for its applicability is universal. When this has been accomplished, perception and knowledge have become so similar that they share the unification of the laws of God. So I'll pause there. And immediately what comes forward for me was how, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but remember we were talking about the ego being, feeling like it could be automatic pilot, like that's just sort of our default. And then we were also talking, though, how eventually it really becomes, turning to the Holy Spirit becomes our automatic pilot, that the Holy Spirit is just there and we have that trust and we're relying on Spirit, so it's just automatic. That's what came forward for me in the latter part of this paragraph with this idea of transfer of training. Gradually, we learn to apply it to everyone and everything, for its applicability is universal, is what that line says. So as we develop that muscle, quote-unquote, of turning to the Holy Spirit, it becomes more automatic. And I love even this last sentence. It's so comforting to me because it says, when this has been accomplished, perception and knowledge have become so similar that they share the unification of the laws of God. In other words, perception, again, we've talked about perceiving is what we do on this level of form, and knowledge is what happens on the level of formlessness. So as our perception becomes so purified with seeing only love, as our awareness, our perception of the real world grows, it is easily transferred into knowledge. It's effortless. It's just seamless. It's just easy. So that's what came up for me there. That was comforting to me. And it actually said that too. If I just back up in the middle of the paragraph, it says, love transfers to love without any interference, for the situations are identical. I love that. So as always, please, if anybody has any insights or comments that come up for you, please, by all means, throw them out there. If there's any sentence in particular that stands out to you in any of these paragraphs, too. We can take the next paragraph now. What is one cannot be perceived as separate, and the denial of the separation is the reinstatement of knowledge. At the altar of God, the holy perception of God's Son becomes so enlightened that light streams into it, and the Spirit of God's Son shines in the mind of the Father and becomes one with it. Very gently does God shine upon himself, loving the extension of himself, which is his Son. The world has no purpose as it blends into the purpose of God. For the real world has slipped quietly into heaven, where everything eternal in it has always been. There the Redeemer and the redeemed join in perfect love of God and of each other. Heaven is your home, and being in God, it must also be in you. What comes up for me reading this paragraph is the ease, again, at which we return back to love, how it doesn't happen before we're ready, how it only happens as we become readiness, as our readiness increases. And it reminds me, too, of this idea that there's levels of our awareness returning back to love. So, again, I think I brought up this example a few calls ago in Dr. Eben Alexander's book, when he has the near-death experience and he is out of his body and is up above looking down on a world of, I think he described dogs, people were dressed in plain clothing, but everybody was just beaming with joy and love and peace and light. That was, in my mind, I believed that he was seeing the real world. And in studying Nook Sanchez's work, I've been working with some of the exercises in her book, The End of Death, recently, which have been so powerful, and she talks about how you start to perceive the real world here. It made me think about how, you know, beginning to perceive that real world here as we grow our trust and experience those miracles, as our awareness of the real world grows, when the time comes for us to lay the body down, it's that laying down of the body and what we then see next, perhaps, and again, this, I'm just sort of putting these two different stories together, perhaps is similar to what Eben Alexander was seeing in his near-death experience. So it's like a very gentle transition, which was very comforting to me. So that came up.
There's also that, sorry.
No, please. I was going to say, I'm wondering what is coming up for anybody else.
That reminded me of when Steve Jobs passed and he was looking, I don't know, towards the wall or family or whatever and said, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was, a lot of people were talking about it after. Yeah, that's what he left us with. It was probably the best thing he left us with.
Wow.
Yeah, so cool.
That's really awesome. I love hearing that. That reminds me, I think I've shared this before, I read something in John Mundy's Miracles magazine. I'm looking for it. I think, did I read this about, what was his name? Roger Ebert, one of the film critics, Siskel and Ebert. When Roger Ebert died, I'll read this to you. His wife, Chaz, wrote of his death in the December 2013 issue of Esquire magazine. During his last days, he was in and out of consciousness, as many folks are during their last days. The day before he died, he said, "This is all an elaborate hoax." She asked him, "What hoax?" And he said, "The world. The world is a hoax." He said it was all an illusion, he described. She said, his experience of heaven as a place where past, present, and future were happening at once. So that just came up for me as you shared that. Again, another example of, you know, this profound insights before that transition happens, of seeing the illusion of the world and the truth of what we are. Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Paul. That's really awesome. I just want to say, wow. Oh, let me just take a look here and see if anything else. I feel like there was something else that was coming up for me, and I don't remember what it was. Just again, I think what I already said about the beginning to see the real world, the transition, as our perception becomes holy through using the Holy Spirit's vision, we become so enlightened that light streams into that perception. And that just sounds so good.
It also reminds me of that, the other quote in the Course that talks about heaven not being a place, being a state of mind.
Right.
Reminds me of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's not a time. I can't remember the exact quote.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. State of mind. I can't even see. I have my searchable online A Course in Miracles book that I'll look up quotes quickly. I wanted to share what was just coming up for me. I started sharing this during the Q&A portion of my conference, you know, segment, and I'm not sure that I was fully able to express it, but I'll share this with you all right now. The other day, this is sometime this week, I don't remember how many days ago, it was recently, I was working with one of the exercises in Nook Sanchez's book. It was called Death Exercises. It's toward maybe 3/4 of the way through the book. And basically she prompts you to write out, you know, the fears, the things that you think essentially that you'll lose if you were to, you know, leave your body. And as I was going through this exercise, and it was amazing to me to see that as I listed out those fears, and it got really raw, what are my actual, you know, fears about that right now? And as I looked at that with the ego, was that a Freudian slip or what? As I looked at that with the Holy Spirit, my ego was starting to freak out in that I started having this well up of fear. My stomach just felt like it started to just turn with these really icky butterflies, and I just started feeling this really sort of collapsing fear, this weight, as I looked at these fears. And I remember thinking, I am looking at, I'm not looking at this alone. I'm looking at this with Spirit. And I remember just steadfastly saying, Spirit, I'm looking at this with you. I'm not going to look at this alone, because the fear was intense. And as I did that, then the fear started to subside, and I just maintained, you know, that willingness to look at what was happening with the Holy Spirit. And I think I've shared with you both before that I have a picture of Jesus that I'll often hold in front of me and look at, and I imagine that Jesus is looking back at me, and I imagine how he's seeing me so I can see myself that way, meaning not seeing me as Corinne, just seeing me as the truth of what we all are. And in my imagining that that's how I'm being seen, it helps me to see myself that way and to see everyone else that way. So I immediately wanted to grab that picture to do that, but I didn't have it nearby. So So I just used the image of this picture in my mind. And as I did that, what happened was in my mind, the picture moved, like sort of turned and came next to me, also facing outward. So Jesus's picture was looking in the same direction that I was looking. And we were looking together, you know, outwards. And it was an experience of using the Holy Spirit's vision together. And in that moment, and it lasted, it wasn't just a moment, it lasted a while. I just felt this pure feeling that we are so safe and we are so taken care of. And I think one of the fears that had that I was just bringing up again was I think I had noticed just getting a fear spike again about, like, I think it was Ebola. Like, just, you know, again, the news headlines. You see something new and it's immediate ego, like, and then you work with it. So that was one of the things that I think I wrote on the list somewhere just in terms of fears. And as I looked at everything with the Holy Spirit and that image of Jesus and I were just looking outwards together using the Holy Spirit's vision, none of that could be seen anymore. That none of that was there. And so, again, it was just an experience of pure peace, pure certainty that we are safe and taken care of. And the funny thing was that after I concluded the exercise and, you know, got up to go about my day and hopped on Facebook, the funny thing that it made me laugh was that I was no longer seeing anything scary about it. At first, I think I didn't see anything about it. And then all the messages that I saw were of news headlines saying, this is nothing, you don't need to be afraid of this. This is nothing to worry about. And, you know, I didn't click into these or anything, but it just was so funny to me that joining with Spirit and seeing the Holy Spirit's vision and then, again, calling forth witnesses for peace rather than for fear, you know, the fear machine that the internet or that the news can be, it was just really, really funny to me that I literally wasn't seeing it, that the messages that my eyes were seeing were different. So I felt moved to share that. I wanted to say it out loud again, too, because I haven't written it down yet, and I don't want to forget it. So that just helped me remember some of the details. So thank you for listening. Oh. All right, so I guess let's move on to the next section. So it's the Guide for Miracles. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's called Looking Within. Miracles demonstrate that learning has occurred under the right guidance. For learning is invisible, and what has been learned can be recognized only by its results. Its generalization is demonstrated as you use it in more and more situations. You will recognize that you have learned. There is no order of difficulty in miracles when you have applied them to all situations. There is no situation to which miracles do not apply, and by applying them to all situations, you will gain the real world. For in this holy perception, you will be made whole, and the atonement will radiate from your acceptance of it for yourself to everyone the Holy Spirit sends you for your blessing. In every child of God, his blessing lies, and in your blessing of the children of God is his blessing to you. And I'll pause there. I'm cracking up with this, with just sharing that story with you and then reading this paragraph, because I'm remembering now that one of the significant pieces that was coming up for me during this whole experience was there is no order of difficulty in miracles. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. That something like Ebola or cancer or a paper cut, there's no order of difficulty in miracles, that they're all just hooks, you know, ego opportunities to look at it with the ego or to, again, choose again to look at it with Spirit. So I'm wondering if anybody has anything coming up so far. We can keep reading. Everyone in the world must play his part in the redemption of the world to recognize that the world has been redeemed. You cannot see the invisible. Yet if you see its effects, you know it must be there. By perceiving what it does, you recognize its being. And by what it does, you learn what it is. You cannot see your abilities, but you gain confidence in their existence as they enable you to act. And the results of your actions, you can see. Wow, I feel like I want to read this again.
I guess the part about learning, maybe you could explain a little bit about the course's view, the viewpoint on learning, and then also the issue of being able to see things. Because learning, right, basically is intangible.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll say a few things, but please tell me if I'm going in the direction that you're thinking of, or if, you know, if you have further questions. Learning, what we're really doing is learning how to remember. Everything, we're home and whole and complete already. We've chosen to forget that. And so we're essentially, with the blocks that we've put up between love and our awareness that love is there, we're simply learning how to remove those blocks. There's nothing really to learn in the ultimate sense because, again, we know we're there already, but we've, again, chosen to forget it. So we are simply learning how to remember. We're learning how to look at the blocks that we've put up with the Holy Spirit for them to be undone. So it absolutely is intangible. What does it say here? I feel like it says something in the paragraph that we just read. You cannot see the invisible. Yet if you see its effects, you know it must be there. By perceiving what it does, you recognize its being, and by what it does, you learn what it is.
See, that's
what
the whole nature of it, I guess, right there. You can't see it. So there's the element, what would you call it, trust?
Yeah, but you can't see it, but we have those experiences, though, that are witness to the fact that we're learning, to the fact that we're getting it, and that we can see, that, you know, that shows up experientially for us, so maybe not seeing with the body's eyes, but through an experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So when you see yourself in a fog, right, if you're covered in a fog, you're confused, you can't see, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're learning how to remove the fog.
Yeah. And you know
how's
what?
That?
The course, there's a section in the course that references fog. I don't know if the word is exactly fog, but it is a... Oh, I really want to find it. In the course, Jesus says, you know, imagine me like taking your hand and just leading you right through it, because that's all it is fog. It's not a wall. It's not blocks. It's not bricks. It's just fog. And he says this is not just a fantasy, like you imagining that you're, you know, hand in hand. And again, just to reemphasize for anybody maybe even listening in at a later point in time, the course's voice is Jesus speaking to us, but you can call it anything. We can use Holy Spirit, inner guide, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody has any reaction to what we've done perhaps in this world to the name Jesus. It ends up coming with a lot of baggage, but I just wanted to say that. So, there's a part in the course. I will see if I can find it because I think it would be helpful. It ties in perfectly with what you just said, Brian. So
oh,
I would
great.
Like to find it. I'll look for that.
And then learning in my life, it generally is always good.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of any experience with learning where you're reducing the fog on anything,
mm-hmm.
where it could possibly be bad. I don't think so. I don't know, but maybe the others have a viewpoint.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we could think about it. The ego tries to teach us things, that we are vulnerable, that we are not safe, that we are, you know, fragile, that we need to take care of the body, because if we, you know, the ego will tell us that if we don't, then, you know, we're going to be in trouble. So maybe from that standpoint, we could say that, you know, we have just sort of overlearned how to listen to the ego in a sense. But I really like that perspective, though, of thinking about learning a little bit differently, just that when has it ever been bad to learn? Like, if you think about just going out and learning things, I like that.
Well,
so,
unless
yeah,
you consider, unless you consider, like, bad habits, like if you pick
mm-hmm.
up a bad habit
mm-hmm.
of listening, perhaps, to the ego,
mm-hmm. right.
we all know
right.
that.
Right.
That's if that's considered learning, then it's not a good thing.
Right, right.
That's stretching it, though. No, learning is good. This is learning. I'm listening
yeah,
to you guys.
Yeah.
It's learning.
It's learning, and it's fun, isn't it?
We grow. Oh, you know it. I think the biggest thing that has helped me is empathy. When I hear the other members of this call, and I hear you, Corinne, and I can associate with what you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
I just can't explain it. It feels so good. Ugh.
I feel
Thank
that, too.
You.
I feel that with being here. I feel like we're joining by showing up each week for each other, and it's such a support to be here, you know, to have everybody together. So I feel the exact same way, Brian.
So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh. So I think we're down on the third paragraph of this section. The Holy Spirit is invisible, but you can see the results of his presence, and through them you will learn that he is there. What he enables you to do is clearly not of this world, for miracles violate every law of reality as this world judges it. Every law of time and space, of magnitude and mass, of prediction and control is transcended, for what the Holy Spirit enables you to do is clearly beyond all of them. Perceiving his results, you will understand where he must be and finally know what he is. Which is us, right? The Holy Spirit's not anything outside of us. So this here is saying kind of with what we just talked about, what we do see are the results of us turning to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit itself, we can't see, obviously, with the body's eyes, but we can see the results of turning to the Holy Spirit. That's not only the peace that we feel, but that's, you know, when we have those transformed relationships that happen, those synchronicities, those, you know, things that are just unmistakable, you know, those experiences, all those miracles.
Yeah, I was thinking that this paragraph reminded me too, and especially the first sentence of when we see signs, like we've been talking about that. I know Deidre's been talking about it, and I've been looking and seeing things happen, and it's, you know, the Holy Spirit using things in the physical reality as a symbol
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Right, right. Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Results of his presence. That's what I'm thinking.
Right, right,
mm-hmm.
right. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will use anything we've made on behalf of our awakening. Were you going to add to that?
No, that was it. It just reminded me, you know, something else that we'd been talking about lately,
yeah.
off and on, and that just stood out to me. I know, you know, I've seen the butterflies and stuff like that, and it's just a sense, you get that sense that when you see it, that it is spirit. Like, you just feel it. That's really
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is. I have a friend who freaks out every time she sees one of those big semi, those God trucks. I don't know the name of the company. It's G-O-D. It stands for something, and it's written big on the side of the truck. And I know that whenever one, whenever there's one that
that's pretty loud and clear.
Yeah, right. she flips out. She loves it.
That's awesome.
It's really meaningful to her.
Well, it was interesting because yesterday was my dad's service, and so I spoke. I got up and spoke. And, like, several times during, like, when people were talking, my dad was pretty heavy into, like, he loved his beer, right? So my stepmom made sure that everybody could have, like, a beer at the service if they wanted to. And there were several points where, like, nobody was walking around or anything. But there were these key moments where it just went silent, and all of a sudden you could hear these beer bottles kind of clanging together, but no one was, you know, toasting or anything. And people just started chuckling, and I was like, yeah. I was in mid-speech, and I was like, yep, there's Dad right now. and everybody started laughing, and but it's true, though, because I was explaining to people in not using coarse language, but I was explaining what my beliefs were in the sense that love is eternal and love doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't end. So what we perceive as an ending of the physical body isn't actually that. It love continues on, and it's something that is eternal. And people really seem to resonate with that. And then this one line in the paragraph that we're reading where it says, the Holy Spirit is invisible, but you can see the results of his presence, and through them you will learn he is there. And there's another part, though, where it's talking about, you said it, Corinne, I'm not finding the line right off the bat, but it was like, if the world, even though the world doesn't see it that way, it's still a representation of spirit. And that kind of came up for me yesterday because I was talking to my aunt on my dad's side of the family, and she was like, well, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm an angel intuitive. And she said, what? And I said, well, I'm an angel intuitive. And I started saying, well, you know, I receive messages from people that have transitioned, and I've received messages from Dad and stuff. And she was like, well, what do you mean messages? And, well, I meant, you know, like, I'm able to communicate, I'm able to receive and stuff like that. And we didn't get to finish, but I realized how much, like, the Course has helped me, because there was a time in my life where I would have just absolutely freaked out by someone's response like that. But now I realize if the world thinks I'm crazy, it means I'm following spirit, because the world is the opposite of what spirit is, right? So it was a really interesting little moment that I had with my aunt yesterday. If the world thinks you're crazy, it's a good sign.
Yep.
I completely agree with you. Awesome. Didi, when you were talking, I have to tell you, I just I got such a strong sense, just to back up for a moment, during the conference, John Mark Stroud participated in the conference, and I facilitated his Q&A call, and I experienced something with him that I don't think I fully integrated yet. It just, there's so many little details that I, you know, facilitating this that I had to turn my awareness to, that I didn't have much time to just be with what happened. I felt we were talking about how I brought up the example of Eben Alexander again and how with communication when he was out of his body, it was as if messages were just pushed through him. I'm not using the right words. This weren't his words. This is just, you know, me trying to describe this. And in talking to John Mark Stroud, I felt the same feeling with love just being sort of pushed right through my being. Like, actually, my gosh, the memory just came back. It was the exact same feeling when I held my kitty cat when she got put down, and I felt her pass through me. It was
wow.
The same feeling. It was this just wave of love that just came through me. That's the best way that I can describe it. As you were describing, so I experienced that with John Mark Stroud on the phone, and I just experienced that again when you were talking, Deidre, that you're delivering that message, you know, speaking at your dad's service. I just got this strong sense that you helped so many people there by sharing that. It came up really strong for me. So
it's really interesting. Thank you, Corinne, for that confirmation, because I literally gave what I was going to say to Spirit, and I didn't write anything out. Like, I'm the type of person, I have to speak from the heart or it doesn't feel right for me. So a lot of times I won't write things down, and I'll just channel. Basically, that's what happens. And so that's what I did yesterday. And I wasn't looking for any kind of recognition or, you know, whatever. But literally, like, the whole place came up to me and said what I had said for them was the most meaningful part of the day. Mm-hmm. And I felt like because I had allowed myself to be the vessel for Spirit to speak through, mm-hmm. that's what people were responding to. And so it's so neat that you're confirming that right now.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
It came up so strong for me. Wow. Oh. So,
you know,
wow.
It's just to me now, and listening to you talk, I know there's a basic principle of learning that's all tied into this, and it's one of the, I think it was Mager, the guy that came up with the concept of instructional objectives, and one of his key principles is that you gotta wanna, right? So what I'm hearing, and I want to grow this in myself based on what I'm hearing with you guys, you have to be willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not motivated, you have to motivate yourself to listen. And I'm thinking, if I am ready to receive a message, that to me is half the message right there. If you're willing to listen. I know that for me, that, and when I hear you guys talk just in these last couple of minutes, if I can get motivated to listen and make myself a receiver, I can hear the Spirit. I can hear people who have passed, just like what Deidre was talking about.
Brian, that was so beautiful. I wrote it down. If I am ready to receive the message, that is half the message. You're spot on. That's everything. It all starts with our willingness. And our willingness is all that we need. Like, that's it. And willingness and, like you just said, in my words, getting quiet, you know, willing to receive it and then just receiving it because it's there.
Right.
That's perfect. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And in your life, you need to hear those voices. That's what keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All those people from our past, which, and if you listen to John Mark Stroud, there is no past. You ever hear his description of
mm-hmm.
time?
which could, do you remember it?
Well, it's in
it?
The one who wakes in uh-huh. his sight. It's the radio analogy, right, where you have the ego. I might have mentioned this before. The ego is, it's an old radio
uh-huh,
with push
uh-huh.
buttons. And it's an old Rambler radio. One button says ego. That's at one end. And at the other end, it says Holy Spirit. And John Mark Stroud goes through this analogy or metaphor or whatever, and he just draws it out for about an hour and a half, going over how we pick ego versus Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And his best example is he says he's teaching himself, he's finding the motivation, to take a pair of pliers and pull out the buttons, all of the buttons in the radio. He doesn't want to listen to any station except, and you can guess which one he wants to listen to. Of course, the Holy Spirit. But that's in his sight, the video. It's wonderful. So, but he's the one that he gives off this sense of spirit and motivation. That it's just great. But it's all the same.
Yeah,
he really does.
Yeah, I just got this sense from him to echo what you're just saying, that he is just such a clear, open vessel for truth that there's if there's any of his ego left, it's very little. He is wholly beyond dedicated. He just embodies this. He lives it. He is it. Wow. Can I write your quote on my Facebook page if I'm ready to receive the message that is half the message with your first name? I would love to. Everybody says
sure.
Thank you. Everybody says such profound things.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody is quotable. I just don't always write it down, so I happen to write that down in time.
But that radio, if you haven't seen it, it's I printed it out. I took a screenshot, and I printed it out. I put it on my desk.
Awesome. Thanks for that reminder. That's great.
Yeah, and what I love about that, because it's similar to what Lisa Natoli teaches, is the two never meet. They can't. The two ends of the spectrum never meet. So it's either you're in the Holy Spirit camp or you're in the other one.
right, yeah.
And,
so important.
Yeah.
So important. Beautiful.
Hey, family, I just stepped in the room.
Hey, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hey. Hi, dear. I don't
How
know
are
what you?
You
all are talking about. I'm good. How's everybody else?
Great.
Thank
you.
That's nice. Now, what were we discussing?
What were we discussing? You know, we've actually had some really amazing discussions tonight. All the calls are worth listening to, but if you have a chance to download the earlier part of the call to listen in, it could be very, very worth it. Deidre was sharing about speaking at her dad's service. We were talking, just about a bunch of different things that's pertaining and maybe not pertaining to the reading. We're talking about learning, lots of good stuff. So I don't know if I can find – I think I just lost my place. In the Sparkle Edition, are we still on page 272?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And are we starting with the paragraph, you cannot see the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Let me just see. Yep. Carla, I think I might be able to help by telling you where we are. Yes, we're on in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition. It's page 230, paragraph 4.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's read this paragraph. You cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see his manifestations. And unless you do, you will not realize he is there. Miracles are his witnesses and speak for his presence. What you cannot see becomes real to you only through the witnesses who speak for it. For you can be aware of what you cannot see, and it can become compellingly real to you as its presence becomes manifest through you. Do the Holy Spirit's work, for you share in his function. As your function in heaven is creation, so your function on earth is healing. God shares his function with you in heaven, and the Holy Spirit shares his with you on earth. How beautiful. I love that last sentence. God shares his function with you in heaven, and the Holy Spirit shares his with you on earth. And it's our function here to heal. If we think are struggling with our finding our purpose, what we're meant to do, I feel like that's it right there. Our function on earth is healing. That is our purpose. And so here again, I feel like this is more confirmation, as we've been talking about, with like synchronicities that show up and things, you know, that we experience that prove to us that the Holy Spirit is there. Just opening with this paragraph, you cannot see the Holy Spirit, but you can see his manifestations. And unless you do, you will not realize he is there. Again, keeping in mind that what we see with our body's eyes, the Course is teaching us, we made. This was not made by God or by the Holy Spirit, but as we give what we see, as we give what we've made to the Holy Spirit uses it on behalf of awakening, and so we see those synchronicities show up. We see those confirmations that the Holy Spirit is there. So that's pretty cool. And we come to really know that the Holy Spirit is there through those witnesses for love that we open up to experience. Next paragraph. As long as you believe you have two functions, so long will you need correction. For this belief is the destruction of peace, a goal in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit's purpose. You see what you expect, and you expect what you invite. Your perception is the result of your invitation, coming to you as you sent for it. Whose manifestations would you see? Of whose presence would you be convinced? For you will believe in what you manifest, and as you look out, so you will see in. Two ways of looking at the world are in your mind, and your perception will reflect the guidance you choose. Again, those two ways of looking at the world being the way of looking at the world with the ego, which is going to show us all sorts of pain and conflict and scarcity and strife and all those ego things, versus the other way of looking at the world, which is looking at the world through the Holy Spirit's eyes, through the Holy Spirit's vision. And I have sort of double, triple underlined the sentence sort of in the middle where it says, your perception is the result of your invitation coming to you as you sent for it. So again, we call forth witnesses to the ego, or we call forth witnesses to the Holy Spirit. It's up to us, depending, you know, how we're looking at it, which guide it is that we're choosing. So there it is again, the Course cutting us no slack, saying that, reminding us that we are doing this to ourselves. Oh, anything coming up for anybody yet?
Yeah, doing it to ourselves. Boy, oh boy.
Anything you feel moved to share?
Does that drive home the point? Yeah. Does that drive home the point of my madness? Boy, oh boy. And just doing the same thing, just looking around and my perception, experiencing what's happening to me. It's happening to me. Has nothing to do with me. It's happening to me. And even just as conscious as I am and try to be with studying the Course and applying it, this is really tough. Having to swallow that I'm doing everything to myself, everything. And I guess I just, anger, it doesn't even make sense to get angry anymore. It's like, it still comes up, but it's like, I just say, what's the sense in this? What's the sense in this? It's not going to make me feel better. It's not going to change anything. And in every situation, I'm noticing more and more that my innocence is never affected. But my peace show is up for grabs, you know. So, you know, I get all that, you know, but I don't know. I guess I'm just waiting to go on home, because this is just really crazy making. It really is. I'm not at that place where I'm feeling blissful and peaceful all the time, on the way to feeling blissful and peaceful all the time. So. I don't know. It's a challenge to try and stick around to wondering if I'm a get there, because it's like so many things that come up that I'm not conscious of that catch me. Like, I didn't know I was going to be in a car accident last week. I didn't tell myself that. You know, if I knew that, I would have went a whole nother way. You know, that wasn't on my agenda consciously. So it's like sometimes my ego, it scares me. I have to be honest about that. Sometimes it gets to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not so spiritual. But
you know,
I can't say that.
I'm glad, though, that you said it's really important to acknowledge even if there's fear of the ego, because, you know, we've talked about ego backlashes, and the Course, you know, says that, these are my own words, but, you know, our ego might have a little hissy fit here and there because it doesn't want us to wake up. Look, if what's coming up for me is to let yourself own and acknowledge and feel that fear of the ego, that if, you know, if you're afraid of your ego doing something to you, and bring that immediately to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, here's this big fear I have of the ego. I'm willing to look at this with you, because the truth is your ego has no power to hurt you whatsoever. No power. The Course says so clearly that when we side with the Holy Spirit, we are absolutely immune, invulnerable to any ego backlash. So I know that sounds maybe hard to believe, because I've experienced that too, where I've been like, gosh, like, you know, what, my ego doesn't want me doing this. What the heck is it going to, you know, conjure up next? That fear of the ego is just another hook of the ego, another branch of the ego trying to whip itself out there to keep you wheeled, you know, back into its crazy cycle. So even take that fear of the ego to the Holy Spirit, because we are, if an ego backlash happens, it's our task just to keep, again, bringing it to Spirit, looking at it with Spirit, because the miracles that can happen within that, you know, we can't even perhaps fathom what that can be. So I really, really, really just want to emphasize, Carla, you're going to get there. It's impossible for you not to get there. It's our birthright. Peace is our birthright. And that's, we're all in this together. The image that came to mind as you were talking, did I share this last week about, like, you know, if you're in a pool and, like, a lot of leaves have, like, fallen in the pool and there's, like, dirt on the bottom and maybe some dead bugs, that when you get in it, it starts, like, you know, it's all settled on the bottom, but you get in it and it starts, like, churning everything up and you're kind of like, ew, there's all this stuff around me. That filter,
mm-hmm.
that filter of the pool is going to start cleaning it out. And so the stuff that comes up is coming up because it's an opportunity to look at it with Spirit. There's no mistakes that it's coming up. It's all layers of the onion. And in the Manual for Teachers, where it talks about the different periods that we go through, there's the period of sorting out. There's a period of relinquishment. There's a period of achievement. It's like we a period of undoing. When we're in those periods, it can feel just like it's not going to end. And so that's why I've always been so grateful for that part of the Course, because it puts a context to what you're going through. So you might even want to check that section out again. It's back in the Manual for Teachers, if that might be helpful, to see the stages that we go through, and just to assure you that you're going to make it. The light in you, this is what my stepdad said to me, the light in you is too bright to fail. It's too bright to fail.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's funny, because even as I was reaching tonight in the bag where I keep my Course book, I got my finger stuck on a staple on a page of like Course material that I had photocopied. I was like, uh-huh. Ow, what is that? And now I never stick my finger on a staple digging in that bag. But yeah, so that's why I said this ego is, well, I won't say it on recording, but I can say it when the recording's over, what I was really thinking, you know. But thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, of course, of course. I, just like so many people have done for me, and, you know, I do this whenever anybody asks for prayers or whatever, I'm willing to see and uphold only the truth in you to help support you. So know that's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, there's just, I know that we're getting near the end, but there's just one last thought that seems to overlay all this, and it's in the second to last sentence in the last paragraph you read. For you will believe in what you manifest, and as you look out, so you will see in, and then two ways of looking at the world are in your mind, and your perception will reflect the guidance you choose. And my thought there is, there was a book by Wayne Dyer, You'll See It When You Believe It. That this was a book, it's probably 25 years ago, but you'll see it when you believe it. That's what I take away from that and from this whole call, the fog.
Yes, yes, you'll see it when you believe it.
You'll
I
see
love
it
that.
When you believe
Instead
it. And that
you'll
applies
believe it
to
when you
everything.
See it, yep, yep. That's awesome.
If you're not willing to turn the receiver on, if you're not tuned in,
you're not
going to see it.
Awesome.
You've got to believe.
Awesome. I will try to find that fog quote
the fog.
For you, Brian.
Oh. It's starting to lift a little. This is a great call.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. All right, we're at the top of the hour. I love you all, and we'll reunite again next week. So I hope you have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Corinne.
Bye.
Bye.
Brian, love you, too.
Love you,
love too.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.